I remember first time I saw the Jay Giles Band. I wonder if you remember this. It was 1968. It was coming out of this incredible year in our social life, the political life of the country, the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy, and then the Democratic Convention. And sometime in August of that year, this is fully a year before Woodstock,
right?
The Woodstock Fair. There was a band that was based here in New York called Cat Mother and the All Night Newsboys. And Cat Mother had a farm up outside of Woodstock in the mountains out there, and then big, huge pasture in the back of their house. And Cat Mother threw a big, like, weekend party. I think they even called it a music and light fair, and basically invited, like, people from the city and from Boston, from cities, to, like, go to the country and just chill for a weekend because it had been so heavy politically. And for an entire weekend, people camped out in the back. Well, it was essentially the backyard of this farmhouse. Mm-hmm. And bands played all day and all night long. And that was the first time I saw the Jay Giles Band. It was before the first record had even come out on Atlantic. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we played that. And then there was that up at Goddard, there was an alternative
media. Oh, the Alternative Media Festival at Goddard. Right.
There was that. That was going on. But it's funny, you know, you mentioned about the political unrest. I remember in Boston, we were playing with Muddy Waters at this place called the Boston Tea Party. And the Jay Giles Band, we had just finished the set, and Muddy was about to go on. Somebody ran up to me and said, "Well, Martin Luther King has just been shot." And it was the same day as Muddy's birthday, when I was planning a big party for Muddy. I remember, having to tell Muddy because, you know, everyone was very frightened that the whole area was going to really go up in flames. It was a very tense climate. I remember Muddy saying, "Don't say anything." And he played about 3-4 numbers, and then he, you know, made the announcement. And it was quite an incredible period. The whole period, I do remember that. It was something. It was, and the music too was so important at that time. There was so much going on, so many vibrant things. The Giles Band, you know, the funny thing is that we really, came out of that real roadhouse era, and you know that kick it, don't stop until you drop, which was very different than a lot of what was going on at that time. And I remember you mentioned Woodstock. Somebody said, "Hey, Pete, you know, there's this opportunity to play Woodstock." And, "Well, man, this is going to be another one of Muddy things." And we declined doing it. We were supposed to go on at 4 or 5 in the morning. I doubt if we would have made it because the rain was so bad anyway. Mm-hmm. But the Giles Band was unique in that way that we just sort of... We left New York and didn't really play New York that much except for the Fillmore. And we really achieved great acclaim out there in the hinterlands, out in the Detroits and Clevelands. And
correct me with another memory here, Peter. Were you guys playing the NEW Christmas concert the night that John Lennon was killed? Was that the Jay Giles Band?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
Does anybody remember who that was?
No.
No, I don't. Okay. All right. Because I was back at the station that night, and for some reason I thought it was you guys, but I guess...
I mean, it might have been.
I don't know. I don't know who it was.
You know, that famous thing about the 70s, if you remember it, you weren't there.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing is someone can come up to me and say, "Hey, man, Giles B. Wolf, oh, man, so great. You remember seeing you in, you know, Ohio and so on, so on, so on." I can remember it. There's so many things I don't. I can remember almost every gig. I can remember the dressing rooms. I can remember the sets. I can remember all the times at the Spectrum and we used to come down here and play the Electric Ballroom and Electric Circus. And then there was a place in Gano's and the Fillmore's and
Gano's. God, I haven't heard that word in a long time.
Yeah, me neither.
Wow, well, you dug that one up. Some cobwebs in your brain there.
But it's funny, you know, as a musician, the things you remember, you know, and there's, but I can have almost total recall. There's very few gigs I don't remember.
Do you see the guys from the Giles Band at this point?
No,
Jay Giles and Magic Dick have this thing, Blues Time.
They have a Blues Time thing. Yeah, yeah. We were together for 17 and a half years with the same personnel. And
longer than most marriages.
Yes, longer than most marriages. And like a marriage, it just, the sort of, the creative, it just had, you know, the I hate to use sort of again a cliche, but you know, there were creative differences in which direction. And the crazy thing was that after years and years of struggling and trying to, you know, sort of get some sort of recognition, when things were really, when we were at our biggest, when we finally had the number one record pretty much in the world, that's when all things kind of got really crazy. It was sad, because it was a great band, and great bands don't come along that, you know, often. You know, and people talk about Bruce and his band getting back together, and they're unique things. And the people say the Stones, and it's, well, you know, I see the Stones, but there is something about a great band. It's like a great, seeing a great ensemble of musicians or actors. There's just something you can't quite put your finger on. It's very mystical, but
And when those bands become long-lived,
right,
the magic gets even stronger, you know, because of that connection that all the musicians have.
And people tried to put us back together, you know, it's sort of like Humpty Dumpty. Everyone is fortunately very healthy and out there, so, yeah, you know, one can never tell. If it was to happen, I would enjoy it, only in the sense I love the music, and I love the kind of energy that the Giles, you know, represented for me. Mm. And it was in a very important part of my life.
Do you cross paths with Faye Dunaway?
We stay in touch.
Peter and Faye were married for, well, you guys were married for like, what, 4 or 5 years, weren't you?
Yes, actually, Bill Graham was instrumental in on our first date.
No, really?
We met out in California. I was talking to him and a lady by the name of Bryn Bridenthal, who used to work with Geffen Records, and I said, you know, out here in San Francisco, and, you know, I left my heart in San Francisco, and, you know, the fog is rolling in over the bridge, and it's so romantic. You know, I don't know anybody out here. So Bryn said, you know, well, I have a girlfriend I'll invite to the show tomorrow night. I said, great. And we were playing the Fillmore West, and it turned out to be this gal by the name of Dorothy Fay, and she was doing a film, Oklahoma Crude, and...
it was a John Huston film, wasn't it?
Zimmerman.
What am I thinking? I'm thinking of Fat City.
Yeah, that was
Huston. Yeah, I don't know.
That was with George C. Scott.
Yeah.
And it was, Faye was in it, and we were staying at this little hotel, and she came by, and we were chatting, and we started talking about, you know, theater and books and records, and we just developed a friendship, but it was all in San Francisco. And
your sister Nancy is out there somewhere in New Jersey saying, Peter, answer the question. The question was, your paths crossed. Do you keep in touch with her?
Oh, God bless her. Yes, I do. We've remained, lovers never say goodbye. We've remained very good friends. Uh-huh. You know, it was difficult being in the Giles band, being in Syracuse one night, and then, you know, sort of Greensboro, North Carolina, and she having to be in, you know, Hollywood on a shoot one week, and then in Spain for a movie. There was too many odds stacked against the marriage to last, but the friendship remained.
Good, good. Tell about this song on your album called All Torn Up.
Ah, All Torn Up. I wrote that with a gentleman down in Nashville, Taylor Rhodes. And it's, again, like the Muscle Shoals, it sort of was... Well, it's my life story. But it was done, I try to do it in that old sort of Stax way. And, you know, again, one emulates things. And I try to make this record, when you say classical, I appreciate that. You know, in a way, you know, I look at certain albums that if you hear a song, for instance, Van Morrison, we talked about a lot tonight. But if you listen to his Moondance record, you know, you don't think of 70s or 80s, you know, like you do with certain albums. You just think of the album, and I try to sort of keep this as classical as possible, so it wouldn't be dated.
Yeah, so that it exists in a kind of free-floating time.
Right.
It really doesn't belong any specific place, and yeah, you're absolutely right when you listen to something like Moondance.
Right, and so the different styles influence me, and this is definitely a Memphis kind of style, and it's just one of those... Again, songs that was written about 4:30 in the morning as the bottle was getting emptier and emptier.
Peter Wolf on WNEW-FM.
Everybody's got a sad song and a vice they won't lend. And I got one that's tossed around, and I'm I'm singing once again. And I'm turning on the blue lights, 'cause I know how my sad song ends. All torn up, I'm fading. All torn up, I should try one last goodbye, leave it all behind. But the sad, 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 sad song is hanging around my mind. And I'm all torn up. Oh, I'm all torn up. All torn up. All torn see the future right in the palm of your hand. But I don't need a fortune teller girl to tell me where I stand. Never thought I'd be so lonely. Never thought I'd come crashing down. Here I am, but one chance only. One chance to turn all around. Oh,
There's a Peter Wolf song from, about 3 years ago. The album called Long Line gave us that song entitled Rosie. That's always been a favorite of mine.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I like that one a whole lot. And it sounded good coming out of that old Judy Clay track, Greatest Love,
when you pulled that one out, I got what that called the chill factor, goosebumps in my arm. That's one of my favorite records. That's a beautiful record.
Oh, good, good. Out of All Torn Up, which is on Fool's Parade, the new Peter Wolf.
May I also thank the Uptown Horns, who did a great job playing on Fool's Parade, and they're particularly great on that track. And they're from here in New York.
Yes, they are.
And they're old friends, and played with the Giles Band many times, and the Stones, and they're just, you know, sort of carrying on the tradition. They're great guys.
Peter Wolf, we talked during the course of our visit here tonight about your interest in art and the fact that from a very early age you were a visual artist. Do you still do that? Are you a painter or
yeah.
a sculptor? I mean, what? How does your art manifest itself?
Well, I was always interested in painting and drawing, and I still do it. But it's sort of, to me, someone can have two loves, but it's like having two wives. I'm, you know, really married to these records and doing it, but I've stayed with it. I go to a lot of shows, and when there's breaks, I'll get very interested and spend many, many, many days painting in the wee hours. Mm. So I still keep up with it.
Have you ever shown your work?
I have. There have been several showings, and I sort of give things to certain benefits and charities and things that raise money. There were a couple of shows up in Boston that I had. I haven't really pursued that area as of yet. I still have this warehouse, and I paint them, and I just throw them in, and I paint them, and it's building up.
There was a book years ago, an art book, the title of which escapes me. I know I have it at home somewhere. It was Musician Artists. It was Joni Mitchell
right.
and Captain Beefheart
right.
and one of the Stones. Which one of the Stones now? Is it Ron Wood? Is a painter maybe?
Ron yeah. is a very good draftsman. He does a lot of lithos. He has a gallery out in California, and he does quite well. They sell a lot of his. He did these series of the Stones and Charlie Parker and Dylan Belushi, and he's quite good. And actually, Keith Richards started as an art student. So here's another one.
Let me pause here and take care of some commercials, and then you're going to do something with Long Line.
Oh, okay.
Right? Okay, right after this.
1-800-SLEEPYS. Sleepy's, the mattress professionals, guarantees the lowest price on your new mattress, or you get it free plus $500. Call 1-800-SLEEPYS. Sleepy's, the mattress professionals.
When I have a headache, nobody feels it but me. But when I have dandruff, everybody knows. So I want to lose it fast. That's why I've got Denerex. Denerex has this express relief. It's so fast, I can actually feel it. In minutes, it relieves itching. And I know it's treating my dandruff flakes. So I can relax. I know people are looking at me, not my dandruff.
Denerex Express Relief. So fast you can feel it. Use only as directed.
Hi, I'm David Byrne. And I've never hosted anything before except maybe some dinner parties. But this year I'm hosting this season of Sessions at West 54th, serving you the best in contemporary music each and every week.
Join host David Byrne for 26 weeks of stunning up-close performances by the most acclaimed artists of a generation, only on public television. Lou Reed, Elvis Costello, Burt Bacharach, Lucinda Williams, Cowboy Junkies, The Pat Metheny Group, John Hyatt, Kronos Quartet, Natalie Merchant, Nadeski, Martin and Wood, Lyle Lovett, The Lounge Lizards, Liz Phair, Neil Finn, and many more. See why New York Magazine said it may be the best contemporary music show ever. Sessions at West 54. It's critically acclaimed. It's commercial free. It's the way music looks now. Made possible by IBM, BMW, and DirecTV.
This week, John Mellencamp and Randy Newman. Sundays at 11 on 13 and Mondays at midnight on WLNW 21.
Why, Randy was here the night that he taped that Sessions, that afternoon he taped it, and then he came here that night. I just remembered that. Is it apropos of nothing, actually? So somebody faxed this and said it was the Marshall Tucker Band, but I don't remember that it was the Marshall Tucker Band, and I'm ashamed of myself that I can't remember who was playing the NEW Christmas party the night that John Lennon died.
Maybe
it was a Monday night. Yeah, I mean, if can somebody else confirm that it was the Marshall Tucker Band?
How can they do that?
They could fax us or phone. Is Kara here? Kara's back, right? 212-757-1027 is the phone number. That's the voice phone number. And, yeah, just do the voice phone. I want somebody to confirm who was playing the NEW Christmas party the night that John Lennon died. Someone did say that it was the Marshall Tucker Band. And there's a note here for Pete. It says, Monkey Island still blows me away. Oh. Rock lives.
Oh, must be, ain't no laugh on Monkey Island.
Yeah. Okay. Can you get these phones? People are. I'm asking people to confirm whether it was in fact the Marshall Tucker Band that was playing at the Christmas party that night.
Was there an announcement that was made? Were you on the air? Or?
I was on the air. Yeah, and the concert was over, and everybody was at an after concert party at Avery Fisher Hall, and I had to call up, get through 6 different people before I could finally get backstage to get Scott on the phone. Scott Muni. Right. And I said, Scott, because Scott and John were very close, right. You know. And I mean, aside from the obvious relationship, there was also a very deep personal relationship there as well. And I said, Scott, we just got this report that John had been shot, and we don't know. He's been taken to the hospital. It was like, oh, you know, coming off this high of this wonderful Christmas concert, to get that kind of news like that. And what happened was everybody wound up coming back to the station. This was like now 11:30, and pretty much the whole staff who had been at the concert wound up on the station that night, sort of having a wake. You know, we just got rid of, we didn't play any commercials or anything. We took phone calls. We just talked to people and kind of talked ourselves through it that night. But it was a long time ago already, wasn't it? I mean, that was 1980. For heaven's sake, it was a long time.
Is that
time
a long
ago.
Time?
Yeah, it's a long time.
I don't know.
It is a long time, Peter.
I'll have to check with my sister on that.
We have one person who confirmed Marshall Tucker.
Yeah, and then somebody else said one.
And then the bounce people say, "Hi, Peter. It's good to hear you on the air."
Oh, I see.
Yes. So
it was the Marshall Tucker.
Well, if they're females, check the names.
No, of course there's all guys. But, oh. You know.
Well, all right. Well, I just.
Well, okay. maybe they'll have an all-night house party. Take their names, too.
Okay. They might have sisters.
All right, now let's recap. Peter Wolf has been my guest for hours and hours here tonight. We've been having
mercy.
A ball.
My sympathies.
this has been great. Fool's Parade is the title of the new album. It is available everywhere. Hopefully sometime this year, you'll put together some kind of a performance thing. You'll put together some kind of band and go out on the road.
Been out there on the highways and the long line. You mentioned, you know, John Lennon. I had the privilege of spending some time, because he worked a lot in the record plant, as did the Jay Giles Band. And during the Lost Weekend period, I got to spend a little time. He was working on a Harry Nilsson record. And Harry and I, Harry was sitting with a limousine driver, his limousine driver that was driving Harry around, giving him stock market tips, drinking Remy Martin and milk. And Harry said something derogatory to me. I didn't quite know who he was, and I answered back in, you know, Bronx fashion, like, hey, you know, like your mother, or, you know, so like, hey, man, you know. And, oh, hey, man, you're a fighting kind of guy. And whereupon he offered me this cognac and milk, and then invited me into the studio to hear his new record. And there was John Lennon. And we all proceeded to continue to drink this cognac and milk.
Right.
And ended up making some music. The engineer was a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Iovine, and we ended up going through our old repertoire of 50s songs with Harry playing drums, John on guitar.
Wow.
I was singing some, and the bass player, who I can't remember, for the original Alice Cooper Band, wherever he came from, I don't know. And then we all ended up...
And was a tape rolling?
Tape was rolling.
And where is that tape now?
I think Jimmy has it. And Jimmy Iovine, and he said that that's his mother's house in New Jersey or something.
Wow.
But we all ended up, there was a place called Downey's around the corner in the theater district that would also make these, what's the coffee where you put the brandy in it? It's called, there's a drink.
Irish coffee.
There you go. Yeah. And we closed up the place and spent like 3 or 4 days drinking milk, cognac, and doing 50s, you know, bebopalulas and things like that.
You and Harry Nilsson, John Lennon, and the bass player from Alice Cooper's Band.
Right.
Wow. And,
but John Lennon was one of the wittiest, funniest gentlemen.
Sure.
And he was just watching him work. He was working on a song. I think it was like something Goodbye Vienna that he was sending out to Ringo for a solo record. I might have the name wrong. Uh-huh. And just to see, he was composing it on the spot. Jimmy was, you know, putting it down. He was just laying down guitar and stuff, and he was sending it out to Ringo, who was somewhere in Europe. And it was pretty amazing watching him work.
Wow.
And the funny thing was, he didn't really have a lot of technical knowledge in the studio. So, you know, he would say, just give me that Elvis thing in my voice, you know, or that's how he would, you know, talk to Jimmy. Yeah. He was one of a kind.
Have you heard that, the stuff from this box set?
Oh, yeah.
Of him and Spector cursing at each other and then birds and all kinds of weird things in the studio and stuff. Pretty wild stuff. You had mentioned something, too, about a Muddy Waters thing on television.
Yes, I think it might be Wednesday or something.
Now, what actually is that?
That is a tribute to Muddy that's done at the Kennedy, that was recorded at the Kennedy Center down in Washington, D.C., and it's some of Muddy's band and Charlie Musselwhite and G.E. Smith and Como and John Hyatt, Buddy Guy, Coco Taylor. I'm going to leave
and Peter Wolf,
myself, Greg Allman, Barry Goldberg, Nick Gravanites, a whole bunch of people, and they're all Muddy's family's there, and there's some wonderful archive footage of Muddy in the early days.
What song do you do?
I do Rollin' and Tumblin'. Uh-huh. If the river was whiskey, I'd be a diving duck.
There you go. Let's go back to Long Line.
All right.
We're going to kind of wrap things up here with this.
Well, Long Line was a record that came together with the song Long Line, and the lyrics, I had the groove going on for a while, and the lyrics took me a long, long time to get, but it's sort of the theme of really what's going on with myself at the moment. But Long Line. So here I am, baby. Right back where I've been. I've been tossed around, kicked around. I'm on the outside looking in. Every mountain has its valley and every valley has its climb. I got these weary blues from trying cause it's been uphill all the time. It's a long, long line. I don't believe in angels that watch you in the dark. You're born alone, you die alone, you ride lonesome from the start. I've been chasing after fortune. I've been running after fame. It's like trying to paint the sides of a fast-moving train. It's been one long, long line. These days are hard to figure, and they're so damn hard to take when they're passing on the real thing and just buying what is fake. Last night I had a dream, and I hope it's no sign that there's no end to this long, long line. Because I remember the old photos and the letters that you sent. I was so straight back then, and now I'm twisted and I'm bent. Blossoms in the trees, they're so delicate and fine. But when they fall from the branch, they just wither down with time. Now, darling, I can't help myself no matter how I try. Desire has no rest and anger has no eyes. Some people believe in miracles. They say it happens all the time. But I'm still waiting for the man that can turn water into wine. It's a long, long line.
Right back where I've been. I've been tossed around and twisted up. I'm on the outside looking in. Every mountain has its valley. Every valley has its climb. I got the weary blues I'm trying. Cause it's uphill all the time. It's a long, long line. I don't believe in angels that watch you in the dark. You're born alone, you die alone. You ride lonesome from the start. I've been chasing out. Running at the fame, it's like trying to paint the sides of a fast moving train. It's a long line. It's a long line. It's a long line. It's a long line. It's a long, long line.
Peter Wolf, I for one am very thankful that long line has led you back here to WNEW-FM.
Well, thank you.
And I hope that it continues to do that as long as I'm sitting here on Sunday nights.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate being asked here. And I really thank everyone for calling. I kid around, but really, I appreciate all the calls. Yeah. It means a lot.
Yeah, this has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Peter Wolf, you take care, man.
Okay.
Okay.
Button up when the wind blows.
Yeah. I'll send you on your way out into that New York night with this one from Fool's Parade.
Oh, a long way back.
I woke up, such a lonely feeling. Got so high, had to peel me from the ceiling. And it's too late, my whole soul is reeling. It's a long way back again. Good God, I wonder where the time goes. Spent my life chasing after rainbows. Button up tight, baby. It's chilly when the wind blows. It's a long way back again. So where my God, this is one of those days, and it hit me too hard. I've been planting my crop in some other man's yard. It's a long way back again. It's been a long life.
The mutineer had trapped all reason in the hold. The man who walked across his heart took no compass, guide, or chart to rope and tie his blood congealed when he found himself revealed of the cold. And the sirens had sang, by your nose with its ring will drag you in for your sins. Now he sits all alone, and there's no place like home, this empty skin. A bag to keep life's souvenirs in.
Highways merge and form in the crossroads. Both of them point to the restless sea.